Good morning to all listeners from around the world. You are tuned into Iran Radio, broadcasting from Tehran, and I'm your host for the next hour. And here are some interesting facts about Islam. You are listening to Iran Radio. There are an estimated 1.8 billion Muslims in the world, which is about 1.5% of the world's population. Due to birth and conversion rates, Islam is considered to be the fastest growing religion in the world today. We start off this hour's programs with Kids Corner. The program is all about children and child's play, a fun program specially made for children. After that, we have Round the World with reporters. Reporters from around the world tell us what is happening in their corner of the world. Listen to fascinating reports from countries both near and afar. Let's recite the Quran will be our final program this hour. The program teaches eloquent recitation of the Holy Quran at level 2.
Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, kids.
Hey, man.
Hey, girl.
Hello.
Hi.
My brothers, my sisters, and all of my gentle friends. This is a song that I have learned. Let's sing it.
Welcome to
Kids
Corner. And you know, you're not going to go wrong when you're at Kids Corner.
Swappy!
You say, Assalamu alaikum. Walaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum, dude.
Assalamu alaikum. Walaikum assalam.
You're listening to Brother Ali at Kids Corner. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good job. Mashallah, you guys are doing it. Ah, good question. Good question. I'm about to answer that question. Kids Corner.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi tayyibin at-tahirin. Allahumma salli
ala Muhammad
wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahu.
Welcome, dear listeners.
Hello.
Hi.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
And this is Kids Corner. Welcome, everyone.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Wa alaikum assalam. Come to the masjid. Come to the masjid, wash and pray, wash and pray. These are the things that will keep the devil away.
Okay, in the last session, we were talking about traveling etiquette. Remember, we talked about traveling etiquette, how to travel and all that. But since 15th of Shaban is close, we're going to talk about who. Do you know?
Imam al-Mahdi, the Sahib al-Zaman, the Imam of our time. Yes, we're going to talk about him. May Allah hasten his return.
Mahdi biya, 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 Mahdi biya.
Okay, so you guys, you know that he was born on 15th of Shaban, correct?
Yeah. 15th.
Where was he born?
Mecca.
Mecca? Oh my God. How are you? Do you have any ideas?
Medina?
No. Okay, any other tries?
Qadhamain?
Qadhamain? No. Come on. Any
Najaf.
Other? Huh?
Najaf?
No. Samarra. Yes, he was born in Samarra. On 15th of Shaban, in the year 255 Hijri, that is 869 AD. So he was born in Samarra. You know which Imam he was? Which 12th. Number?
12th.
The 12th Imam. Yes. And what is the name of our 11th Imam?
Imam Hassan Askari.
Imam Hassan Askari, alayhi salam. Okay. Imam Mahdi, his real name is Muhammad ibn al-Hassan, right? His name is Muhammad, the son of Hassan al-Askari, correct? So now his title is al-Mahdi. What does that mean, al-Mahdi? Do you know? No? Okay. Means the guided one. The guided one, al-Mahdi, okay? You know, his lineage goes back all the way to who? Imam Ali alayhi salam, correct? He was the son of Imam Hassan Askari, and Imam Hassan Askari was the son of who?
Who's a cousin?
Huh?
I don't know.
He was, basically, I'll tell you, the lineage traces back to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, right? The son of Imam Ali alayhi salam was Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his son, was Imam Zainul Abideen. And then Imam Baqir alayhi salam. And then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And then Imam Musa ibn Jafar. That is Imam Musa al-Qadhim alayhi salam. And then
Imam
Rada alayhi salam. And then Muhammad ibn Ali. Muhammad ibn Imam Rida, that is Jawad alayhi salam, right? And then after Jawad alayhi salam,
Imam Hassan Askari.
No. Ali. Okay, Imam Ali. His name was Ali ibn Muhammad. Okay, and then Hassan ibn Ali was Imam Hassan Askari, and the son of Imam Hassan Askari is our Imam of the time, Imam Mahdi. Okay, great. So you got it now. So Imam Mahdi is the 12th Imam. Where did Imam Mahdi get divinely appointed as an imam? Do you know when was he divinely appointed as an imam?
After the death of Imam Hassan Askari.
Very good. After the martyrdom of Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam, and that was when 260 Hijri. That is 874 AD. So now, wait a second. He was just 5 years old when he became an imam. Oh my God, 5 year old imam? How is that possible? An imam who's a 5 year old? Is that possible?
No.
You Shias, you believe an imam who's a 5 year old imam? Is that possible? It is possible. If Allah wishes, it is possible, right? I'll tell you, there are similar things that happened in the history of Islam. Right? They question you, how can a 5 year old boy become the imam of the mankind? Huh? You Shias, you tell us how. So the answer is, if Allah wishes, it can happen. And this is nothing new. It happened before Imam, our prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. He was a prophet when he was born, when he was a baby, when Hadrat Maryam, salamullah alayha, the mother of Holy Mary, the mother of our holy prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, when she brought the baby, they accused her. How did you become? You're not married. How did you get a baby? You know, they started accusing her. What did she do? She pointed at Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Jesus. And he was a baby. And then he spoke. He spoke while he was a baby, saying that I am the prophet. Correct? Now, so it can happen. If Allah wishes, it can happen. Did you ever hear a baby speak? Did you?
No.
Did you ever hear a baby speak?
No.
Okay. All right. So, and here, Jesus, peace be upon him, spoke while he was a baby. Correct? Okay. Then another example is Yahya, John the Baptist. He was about 2 years old. And the Quran tells about Yahya.
يا يحيى خذ الكتاب بقوة وآتيناه الحكم صبيا.
Oh Yahya, hold on with power to the book, and we gave him judgment while still a child. Quran is telling he was still a child, and Allah gave him judgment. So it is possible when Allah wishes. Correct? 5 year old can be an imam. And then Prophet Solomon. Prophet Solomon, who was appointed by Allah, the heir of his father, David, Dawood, alayhi salam. And he became the king of his community while he had not reached the age of puberty. He was a king. And he was a prophet. Correct? So it is possible.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is time. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returns upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Now, let me tell you, when our Imam, he was 5 years old, and Imam Hassan Askari was martyred, then what happened? Our Imam Mehdi, what did he do? Was he among the people? No. He disappeared. He disappeared. He was not among the people. You know why? Because they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. Right? And he disappeared. When he disappeared about 69 years, he was in touch with some deputies. There was a person who used to go and meet the Imam and ask him questions and then bring those answers to the people. This happened for about 69 years. And after that, Imam totally went into occultation. That is, no one is in touch with him. No one. And he's still alive. Right now, he's still alive. And we believe that he's going to come back and bring justice to the world. Correct? We believe in that. Now, question. Is it possible? More than 1,000 years. Oh my God. 1,000 years and he's still living? Are you guys crazy, you Shias? You believe in this? Huh? Is that possible? What do you think?
Yes.
It is? How come? Tell me.
Because Allah said so.
Because it's Allah's will? Okay. Any other?
It's been done before.
It's been done where? Where? Give me some examples.
Prophet Isa.
Prophet Isa. Very good. Asantum. Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. More than 2,000 years. He's still living. Correct? Because we believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, was not killed. They say he was crucified. But according to Quran, he was not crucified. He was not killed. Then he's still living, right? So, he is living. Any other examples?
Khidr?
Khidr alayhi salam. Very good. Another prophet, Khidr. Prophet Khidr was at the time of Musa alayhi salam. Moses, peace be upon him. Moses, you know, there's a whole story of how Prophet Moses met Prophet Khidr. Correct? And this whole long story. It's a very beautiful story in Quran. Okay? And Prophet, he was alive at that time and he's still alive. That means Prophet Moses was before Prophet Jesus, peace be upon them both. Correct? And he's still living, Prophet Khidr. So it is possible if Allah wishes. Very good. Any other examples from Quran or Islam? Prophet Nuh. Prophet Nuh, Noah. He lived for more than 950 years. You know why? Because he preached for 950 years. He preached for 950 years. I repeat because you sneezed. Okay. He preached for... Well, I got another one coming? Go ahead. Might as well. Go for it. Okay. And you? Go ahead. Okay. He preached for more than 950 years. Prophet Nuh. What that means? That means he lived more than 950 years. Some people say, according to some records, he was 2,500 years. He lived for 2,500 years.
Who?
Prophet Nuh. Okay? But we don't know yet. We don't know for sure. But 950 years, we know for sure that he preached because Quran tells us. Okay. So now that's a long life. So it is possible if Allah wishes.
Assalamu alaikum, Zainab.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah.
Good. Can you think of any nasheeds you'd like to sing?
I know one.
Okay, which one?
Little Bird.
All right. How about you sing it on your own?
By myself?
Yeah.
Okay, inshallah.
All right.
Little bird, where has your mother gone? Why are you here all alone? Little bird, where is your nest? Why are you so far from all the rest? Allah knows the language you speak. And Allah can lift you high. Allah can bring you home again. For Allah is stronger than I. Allah is stronger than I.
Then we have an example of Hazrat Uzair. You know what Uzair was? The biblical name is Azra. Okay? He was passing through some ruins, okay, of a village. Everything is like broken homes. He sees some skeletons and everything's like dead in that village. He was passing through that village.
Where was that village?
I don't know exactly where. Wherever Uzair was, I don't know. And he saw the ruins and a thought came to his mind. He said, how can Allah bring back to life people who are dead? He just thought of that for a second. It's not that he didn't believe. He believed in Allah. He believed that Allah can do it. It's just a thought that comes to his mind. As soon as a thought that comes to his mind, Allah takes his life. Right away, chum, gone. Okay? He was gone. And after 100 years, Allah wakes him up. He gives back his life. Okay, he gets his life back. He wakes up and Allah asks, how long were you sleeping? He goes, oh, about a day. Allah says, no. About a day and a half? No, no. You were dead for 100 years. You were in this state for 100 years. And look at that donkey of yours. Skeleton. He said, look at that food that you were carrying. Still fresh. Look at that water. Still fresh. Allah says, okay, now watch that donkey. And Allah gave flesh. And Hazrat Uzair saw the flesh coming back on the donkey, and the donkey came back to life. This is in Quran. I'm not talking.
So, while he came back, the donkey was coming back to life.
Yeah. Yeah, after he came back, Allah gave life back to the donkey. So he saw himself how Allah gives back life. He saw himself with his own eyes. So it is possible, right? Allah can do this 100 years. He was in that state of sleep or death, what have you. Correct? Now, so it is possible. Another example we have. Another good example. Do you have any other example? One beautiful example, Quranic example. How can Imam Mahdi live so long? Another example from Quran. The companions of the cave. Ashabul Kahf. Did you watch that movie?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you forgot, huh? Mm. I can't believe it. Such a beautiful movie, huh? Okay. It is a beautiful movie about the 7 companions of the cave. The ruler was a tyrant. And he was a non-believer. And they said that they believe in Allah. Okay, they believe in Tawheed. And he didn't like it. And he wanted to kill them. And he imprisoned them. They ran, whatever. And they went and hid themselves in the cave. And they slept. When they woke up, they thought they slept for 1 day or day and a half. Just like Hazrat Uzair. Right? But they found out they were in the cave for more than 300 years. 309 years. Sleeping. So it is possible. Quran talks about it. It is possible, all right? So, it is possible that Imam Mahdi can live that long because it's Allah's will. Allah is the one who's protecting him, all right? So, inshallah, we're going to continue talking about Imam Mahdi. May Allah hasten his return in the next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Here's Sister Batul again. With a wonderful story.
It's story time.
Once a child was walking in the forest,
going to the left and then the right.
So impressed, he pondered the sight,
seeking to discover the hidden secret.
Keep yourself tuned in here with Sister Batul.
Well, let's go.
It's story time, story time.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome, dear listeners. And here is Sister Batul again with a wonderful story about Prophet Yahya. Do you know who was Prophet Yahya? What is he called in Bible? He is John the Baptist. Once the accursed Satan manifested himself before the Prophet Yahya. Prophet Yahya was the son of Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam. Now, seeing that Satan had numerous ropes in his hand, Yahya inquired, "O Iblis," that means, "O Satan, what are these ropes that you hold in your hand?" Satan replied, "These ropes are the various attachments, inclinations, lusts that I have found in the children of Adam." Yahya asked, "Does there exist a rope for me too?" Satan said, "Yes. When you satiate yourself with food," that means when you overeat, you eat to the brim, you experience weightiness, you get like lazy and heavy. And this is the reason that you become disinclined with respect to your prayers, dhikr, and supplications. You don't want to pray. See, when we eat a lot, we don't want to feel like doing homework or studying. You just get lazy. That's how he was getting. So Satan says that this is the time that I like to attack you and to invite you towards me. Now, hearing this, Prophet Yahya alayhi salam vowed, "By Allah, never shall I eat to my fill ever again." Now, what did Satan reply to that? He responded by pledging, "By Allah, never shall I advise anyone ever again." So watch out, brothers and sisters. When you eat, like overeat actually, that's when Satan is active. He gets closer to you. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
I am a Muslim dedicated, keen on being educated. Need I am and well behaved in every affair well arranged. Need I am and well behaved.
See you next time, same channel.
Of the apostles, he is the greatest of prophets. Allah, the best of the apostles, he is the greatest of prophets. And my darling mom, I love her much, who overwhelmed me with her touch. My dad is striving for my interest, among my friends he is the best. My dad is striving for my interest, among my friends he is the best. I am a Muslim, dedicated, keen on being educated. Need I am and well behaved, in every affair well arranged. Need I am and well behaved, in every affair well arranged.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Erubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
The human cost of the war in Gaza is etched not only in the lives lost, but
in thousands living with irreversible physical trauma. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, 6,000 people have undergone amputations since the start of Israel's genocidal war, an explosion of suffering that has reshaped entire families and communities.
Before the war, there were around 1,500 cases, resulting also from Israeli attacks. Now, after the war, the number increased to be over 7,500. This is an indication of their continuous suffering. The prosthetics are not available, and the lack of rehabilitation make the task of this center more challenging.
The ministry reports that children make up one in every four amputees. Their lives abruptly transformed before they even learn to dream freely. Women account for 12.5%. Many having lost limbs while trying to protect their families or flee bombardments.
Every day, we suffer much because we don't have sufficient supportive equipment or prosthetics. Moving from one place to another is a struggle because roads are battered and damaged in the war, and the transportations are difficult.
I used to borrow the walking stick from my neighbor. At first, I got shrapnel from an Israeli attack that caused my amputation. And 1 year after the amputation, I am still getting rehabilitation with difficulty, as the cases are a lot and the center is overwhelmed.
Behind each number is a story of terror survived. Yet survival, doctors warn, is only the beginning. Gaza's shattered health system offers little for those who must now learn to live differently. Rehabilitation centers lie in ruins, prosthetic slabs lack the most basic materials, and patients often leave operating rooms to a reality without therapy, mobility aids, or even adequate pain relief.
For Gaza's amputees, the struggle now is not only for survival, but for dignity, mobility, and the ability of rebuilding hope in a place where so much has been reduced to rubble. At Ibrahim for Deir al-Balah City, Palestine.
For many people around the world, the first Palestinian Intifada may be a moment of the past, but for the Palestinian people, it remains a movement advocating general, united, and comprehensive resistance to the occupier on their soil despite the constant terror created by the Israeli occupation.
Over the past months, the West Bank has witnessed intensified military raids, home demolitions, siege of cities, and near-daily assassinations and arrests. These events echo the same oppression that pushed Palestinians to rise up 37 years ago.
What's happening in Jenin is part of a wider Israeli plot to pressure and weaken the social and political structure of the refugee camp. The destruction and displacement are meant to change the reality on the ground, even if temporarily. But the resilience of the people shows what the community experienced during the first and second intifadas. In the end, the residents believe they will return, because the Jenin camp has always been a symbol of steadfastness.
Despite calculated attempts of the occupying regime to eliminate the Palestinian people through raids, land confiscation, and settlement expansion, Palestinians stand firm today.
We lived through the first and second intifadas, facing raids, demolitions, and tanks, but we always stood our ground. But this invasion has been the hardest. We were forced out of our homes and became displaced in our own land, leaving behind a camp where every corner holds memory. Still, we remain patient and steadfast. The Jenin camp isn't just a place for us, it is our life.
I am a refugee, and today, once again, I am displaced. I lived through raids, fear, and long sieges, and we always stayed strong. But being forced out of the camp this time is different. We left behind everything we built, and the place where we raised our children is no longer there.
It is not a conflict. It is the occupation of Palestine from an outside entity solely created by the West. Palestinians are being killed. Their homes are demolished and being displaced every day. What is happening in the West Bank today is part of a calculated effort to weaken, fragment, and erase the Palestinian people and their personnel.
culture, and historical identity.
The first Palestinian Intifada, a defining moment 37 years ago, remains a powerful symbol of Palestinian resistance. And today, as Israeli escalation intensifies in Jenin, that same spirit continues to shape the people's determination to withstand the ongoing campaign of violence. Tiba Asi, Occupy Jenin.
Iran's northeastern province of Golestan, once primarily known for agriculture and forestry, is emerging as a major hub for the country's fishing and aquaculture industry, thanks to recent investments in modern fisheries practices, including growth in caviar production.
The province's climate and abundant water resources make fisheries a core development sector for us. We have some of the most diverse aquaculture in the country, producing over 30,000 tons of fish, including caviar and shrimp. This capacity also positions us well to attract both local and international investors.
A key component of the province's fisheries is the Iranian caviar, which plays a central role in Golestan's export-led economy, with over 90% exported worldwide. Notably, one producer alone exported 3 tons of caviar in the previous year.
Our exports reach countries including Mexico and Brazil. This year, we exported 3 tons of caviar and produced 120 tons of sturgeon meat, used both domestically and for export. Our latest shipment also included 9 tons of crab.
Producers emphasize that using advanced technologies has helped improve production quality, representing a significant step toward boosting Iranian caviar exports.
To increase productivity and improve product quality, we enhance our water quality using modern equipment, including drum filters and ozone generators.
Golestan's fisheries infrastructure includes over 120 sturgeon farms, 15 breeding centers, and modern processing plants. Experts say that employing technologies such as recirculating aquaculture systems, AI, and genomics could raise annual caviar production to 200 tons and sturgeon meat output to 1,000 tons.
With premium-grade Iranian caviar gaining global demand, experts say that the right mix of private sector investment, state support, and modern aquaculture science could turn Golestan into a national model for sustainable fisheries.
Farzan Ashurian, Gorgon.
On Sunday, in major Australian cities in support of Palestinians in Gaza, the rallies took place under the name The Genocide Continues. Protesters denounced continued Israeli attacks and restrictions on aid entry into Gaza despite a ceasefire that took effect in early October. In Brisbane, about 1,000 people took to the streets, rejecting a plan proposed by U.S. President Donald Trump to end the Gaza war.
I have family in Gaza, and they're in Jabalia, and they're completely under siege. This peace plan is not a plan for peace. This peace plan is a plan for further occupation and a further annexation of land that is not Israeli land.
Last week, some media revealed that Australia continued to transfer to Israel parts for the F-35 fighter jets and other materials, even on passenger aircraft, until October this year.
Last September, Australia recognized Palestine as a sovereign state, becoming one of more than 150 countries to do so. However, pro-Palestine advocates in Brisbane believe that much more is needed from the Australian government to satisfy its obligations under international law.
It's not enough, but there's also a lot more to happen there. There is recognizing that the genocide has been unfolding in the past 2 years, recognizing that there are approximately 100,000 Palestinians who have been killed. At least 83% of them are civilians and innocent people, women and children.
More protests in solidarity with the besieged Palestinians are expected to be organized in various Australian cities before Christmas festivities. Max Civili, Brisbane.
Tunisia's anti-normalization movement is entering a new phase. Civil society groups have announced the national initiative to gather 1 million signatures to push parliament to adopt an explicit law criminalizing normalization with the Israeli regime. The campaign builds on years of public opposition reinforced by the Trump-brokered Abraham Accords, which reignited fears of regional pressure on Tunisia to follow suit.
This initiative enjoys broad popular support. Our goal is to collect 1 million signatures to criminalize normalization in Tunisia. Since the Abraham Accords, we witnessed growing public concern and we started raising awareness across the region, where we found strong and consistent backing.
But organizers say the process will take time. Signature collection has not yet begun, as activists work to establish a secure legal mechanism for protecting personal data, a major concern among supporters of the initiative.
We began distributing flyers across different governorates, and we are now working on the legal framework for handling personal data in coordination with the Personal Data Protection Authority and the Interior Ministry to ensure full protection for citizens.
Inside the parliament, the legislative path remains uncertain. Although lawmakers submitted a draft law to criminalize normalization, the process stalled after the speaker relayed that the presidency had warned such legislation could harm Tunisia's external national security.
Parliament has already submitted and voted on the draft law, but it was suspended and remains pending. I believe the 1 million signatures initiative can support and intensify public pressure to move the law forward.
As activists finalize the legal groundwork, the campaign highlights a national debate balancing public pressure, data protection, and the political sensitivity of the proposed law. As Tunisia moves toward launching its 1 million signature campaign, the key question is how public mobilization, data safeguards, and political institutions will converge to advance a law that remains both sensitive and highly contested. Iskandar Nawar, Tunisia.
It may be just a song contest, but analysts say this could be the moment that triggers long-awaited international pressure on the Israeli regime over its crimes against humanity. Because Israel will take part, Ireland will not participate in the 2026 Eurovision Song Contest next May. And state broadcaster RTE is also refusing to air the event.
This is great for to see Ireland boycotting. And I wish to see my own home country, Norway, do this exactly same thing. Where we have been discussing the same topic as you guys in terms of boycotting this year's Eurovision if Israel's going to participate.
Ireland will not be a participant in next year's Eurovision Song Contest.
The same step has been taken by public broadcasters in Spain, the Netherlands and Slovenia, generating widespread international coverage. Campaigners say this alone is a major victory, but they insist pressure must now intensify on EU leaders to seize the moment and impose tough sanctions on Tel Aviv.
I am ashamed to be European at the moment because the European Union is doing nothing at all. It's not doing nothing to stop the genocide, it's contributing to the genocide.
The European Broadcasting Union, which oversees Eurovision, moved swiftly to ban Russia, yet has taken no such action against Israel. Activists argue that if a major country like Germany were to withdraw, the message would be impossible to ignore. But they say Berlin is unlikely to act due to lingering guilt over World War II.
We are seeing a genocide, you know, in front of our eyes. So you can get away from this guilt feeling, and try to solve this problem.
For its part, Irish broadcaster RTE says it would be unconscionable for Ireland to be involved in the Eurovision Song Contest, given the appalling loss of life in Gaza and the humanitarian crisis there. While the decision by RTE has been broadly welcomed here in Ireland, pressure continues on the Irish government to cut all trade ties with Israel and also use its influence in Brussels to encourage other EU countries to do the same. Jerome Hughes, Dublin.
The Trump administration has released its national security strategy for 2025, a document that marks stark differences from earlier strategies issued by the same administration. Let's go over some of the key details.
Western hemispheric dominance, aiming to block what it calls foreign influence in the Americas and shift U.S. military assets toward the Western Hemisphere, away from theaters whose relative importance to American national security has declined in recent decades.
The strategy outlines a major shift in U.S. military posture. Observers say the move may be linked to recent U.S. strikes on boats in the Caribbean and the Pacific, and efforts to remove Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro by force.
Deterring conflict over Taiwan, unlike earlier strategies that framed China as the top geopolitical rival, the 2025 NSS declares that economic relations are the decisive arena. It underscores the need for allies, particularly India, to increase defense spending to help balance China's growing power in the Indo-Pacific.
The document signals a change in tone. Rather than framing China solely as a geopolitical rival, it emphasizes economic competition as the decisive arena. At the same time, it calls on allies, particularly India, to increase defense spending to help balance China's growing influence in the Indo-Pacific.
Berating Europe, criticizing Europe's migration policies, regulatory focus, and handling of Ukraine conflict, suggesting that the continent must take primary responsibility for its own defense. Switching focus from the West Asia, declaring the region no longer a top priority due to U.S. energy independence and perceived decline in conflict, though still committed to Israel's security. It goes on to argue that the conflict and violence in the region are also subsiding, citing the ceasefire in Gaza and the U.S. attack on Iran in June, which it said significantly degraded Tehran's nuclear program.
It declares the United States energy independent, a claim critics say underscores whether Washington's past involvement in the region was driven by oil. Yet critics point out that Israeli violations of the Gaza ceasefire continue, and Iran remains determined to pursue its peaceful nuclear program. Upon a question about Gaza ceasefire's phase two, Trump told reporters on Thursday that it was going along well. He acknowledged Palestinian deaths as a problem, yet he insisted that West Asia is at peace.
We have peace in the Middle East. People don't realize it. We have tremendous support. 59 countries. There's tremendous support.
Tehran has dismissed the strategy as essentially a security document for Israel. Iran argues that ensuring U.S. access to regional energy resources and guaranteeing Israel's security are the two fundamental issues driving Washington's policy in West Asia. Critics say the new national security strategy only underscores the hypocrisy of the Trump administration, revealing that America's true aim has always been dominating global energy and expanding Israel's power at any cost.
I'm a traveler, just as they were,
walking
the world, thinking of the past on an earth so vast,
waiting
to return. Oh, 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 oh.
traveler, just as they were, walking the world, thinking of the past on an earth so vast, waiting to return. While I'm here, I will always try to be.
While I'm here, I will always try to be.
The kind of neighbor who prays for you and me.
The kind of neighbor who prays for you and me.
Here for you, a
shoulder to turn to.
I'm a traveler, just as they were,
walking the world,
thinking of the past on an earth so vast,
waiting
to return, waiting to return. Pleasure to know you, I've learned so much.
Been a pleasure to know you, I've learned so much.
Pray for you, hope to meet you, my heart you have touched.
Pray for you, hope to meet you, my heart you have touched.
Remember me, so I might be with you. I'm a traveler, just as they were,
walking
the world, thinking of the past on an earth so vast,
waiting
to return, waiting to return, waiting to return, return to my
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان. القرآن مسك الختام. يا قرآن عليك سلام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome to this edition of Let's Recite the Quran. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. My name is Muhammad, and with me today in the studio, the usual brothers, Brother Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and Masoom. Welcome to you all, brothers, and welcome to this program, dear listeners. Inshallah, in this episode, we will be continuing the recitation of Surah Nuh, chapter number 71 of the Noble Quran, from verse number 21 of this chapter, inshallah. Brother Ali, I'll ask you, without any further ado, please take the honor of reciting verse number 21 of this chapter. Bismillah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قال نوح رب إنهم عصوني واتبعوا من لم يزده ماله وولده إلا خسارا.
أحسنتم. First of all, it's not ماله وولده. It is ماله وولده. ولده. Correct?
Yes.
That's one.
The second is that, tell me which one is correct. قال نوح ربي or قال نوح ربي.
The first one?
First one, right? So the reason is that we do idgham in this case, right? Nuhun,
yes.
It is tanween at the end. Whenever we have a tanween or a nun sakin, and after that we have yarmalun letters. Ya, ra, mim, lam, waw, and nun. Any of these letters, we merge the nun with the yarmalun letters, correct? However, there are two ways we do it. One way is with ghunna for the yamun letters, ya, mim, waw, and nun letters. We slightly silence the nun sound, we give it a nasal sound, and then we stretch a little bit, right? The other way is without ghunna for ra and lam. And both of these cases we have in this particular verse, right? The first case is with ra. Nuhur Rabbi. Originally it was Nuhun Rabbi. But now after applying idgham without ghunna, that is, we say قَالَ نُوحٌ رَبِّي as if the noon does not exist at all, right? إِنَّهُمْ the noon, because it is shadda, we do it with ghunna, a little bit of a stretch and a nasal sound. عَصَوْنِي عَصَوْنِي صَاد is one of the letters of تَفْخِيم around.